Today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you in from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Memvav. We're holding right at the top. Rabbi Zerah Chalash, Olagabe Rabbi Abu, and Kobel Alayim Mitpach Tino Chorich Shake Avina Yu Metavel Rabbona, Itpach and Avat Zudata Lekul Rabbona. So the reason we start off with this story is because we're starting off again with a new idea of Kedima. We had the kedima of what bracha. We had the kedima of what food. But we haven't talked about the kedima of what person, because there's also a concept of someone who is baking birkat hamazon for everyone else or is saying hamotzi for everyone else. That's also a din in kedima. And so we're continuing on with a new concept of kedima. So now Rabbi Zeira, and remember that Zeira is a shortening of Zeira, which means the little one. And that became actually the nickname for Rabbi Zeira. And he got sick. Rabbi Zerah was a tremendous tzaddik. He used to go into a hot oven every single day to check out and see whether hell would have any effect on him. So as long as he could sit cool and calm and collected in the middle of a hot oven, he figured the hell with hell. And he didn't have to worry about anything. One day, however, somebody gave him an ayin hara, and he got a little bit singed. And from that day on, they used to call him the little one with the singed thighs. So anyway, so he once got sick, and Rabbi Abba was so upset that Rabbi Zerah was sick that he made a neder. If he gets better, if the little one with the burnt thighs, that's what they called him, Katina Chorech Shak, is such a beautiful name, I will make a su'uda, a yumatav l'rabbonon, for all of the yeshiva. Sure enough, Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Zerah actually was itbach, and he made a su'uda l'kul rabbonon, and when it came time to make hamotzi, l'mishre, to start the su'uda, so Amalei lo Rabbi Zerah. So he says, Rabbi Zerah, you should be the one to say hamotzi. Omar lelo savar lo mar lohod Rabbi Yochanan omar ba'al habayit botzeya. Don't you hold that it's always the Baal HaBayit that's botzeya? Now the point over here obviously was that Rabbi Abbo, although he was the Baal HaBayit, he felt that because the entire Seuda was made in honor of Rabbi Zerah, so that makes Rabbi Zerah the Baal HaBayit. I mean, we're all here because of you. And therefore, you should be Mevorech. That's the type of conversation that goes on very often in these types of affairs. Anyway, Satan didn't want to argue with him, so he was Mevorech, Charlotte. Anyway, then it came to Birkat HaMazon. So then they said again, he said to Rabbi Zerah, you know, Livrach Lonmar. So he said, what do you mean? Isn't the din like Rav Huna? You know Rav Huna from Bavel. The reason Rav Huna from Bavel is Rav Huna, but since Rabbi Zerah had moved to Eretz Yisrael, because he was together with Rabbi Avo, he said Rav Huna back in Bavel, but that's the regular Rav Huna. You don't hold of what Rav Huna said, that the one who was originally Botzea on the Challah, he's the one who says the Birkat HaMazon. So anyway, since I got you to give me, to take the first bracha, so then, Memela, it should be you who goes ahead and should also be Mevorech. So he said, now over here, Lo Savala Marlon Ravuna Mibavala Mabotseya is the one who's Mevorech. So who does he hold like? The Yukamad Sphere, he held of Rabbi Yochanan, who quoted Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that no, it actually doesn't go together. The Baal HaBayit is the Botseya, and the Oreach is Mevorech. Why is that? Because if the Baal HaBayit is there at the Seuda, and he is the one that's cutting the bread for everybody else, the reason for the Kedima of the Baal HaBayit is not the covet of the Baal HaBayit. It's a completely different issue of Kedima. And because of that, it raises difficulties to give it to anybody else. Because the idea is that if somebody else is given the covet of cutting the bread, he might feel a little bit uneasy at cutting large slices of bread and so on. I mean, how does he know how much the guy can afford and how much he wants to give out? So he's not going to be doing it ba'ayin yafa. Masha enkin, if the Baal HaBayit does it, then it's done ba'ayin yafa. So because of that, he felt the Baal HaBayit should be botzea. On the other hand, it is only correct for the guest, if there's a guest there, that he should be mevorech birkat hamazon. So the Baal HaBayit is botzeach k'dei shivtzeh ba'ayin yafah, and the oreach is mevorech because he could that way, in the course of his brochas, he can give a brocha to the Baal HaBayit. What is the brocha that he should give to the Baal HaBayit? Well, he should say like this: Yiratzon shelo yevosh Baal HaBayit olam hazeh velo yikalem olam haba. And Rebbe used to add other things. Moshe bought for him. Vitzlach ma'od bechol nechassav. V'yunechassav nechassenu mutzlachim ukrovim le'ir. V'yishlot satan lo b'maase yadav v'lo b'maase yadenu. V'yizdaker lo lefanav v'lo lefanenu. Shum dvar hirur chet v'avira v'yavon mi'ata v'yad olam. Ayizdaker, some have the gears of ayizdakek. Ayizdaker is like a lot more powerful. Ayizdaker shouldn't pop up. Oh, whoops. Oh, my God. All of a sudden, hirur chet v'avira v'avon, which is the derech of Hiruchet, is that it's Bizdaker. So that's really a beautiful Girsa. Now, Lamaisa, as the Mishnah Berurah brings, been a lot of Achronim wonder why in the world, why did the Ashkenazim make so many changes in this bracha? And actually, today, so did the Sfarim. This is a bracha from the Gemara, right? Now, the Pshat seems to be not right, because basically, you'll notice that the Gemara splits it up into two parts. First part is, Yiratzon Shelo Yevosh Balabai Balamazev Eloi Keloim Lom Lamaba. Everybody says that. When Rebbe was Mosif Dvorim, it's reasonable to suggest that Rebbe was Mosif Dvorim according to needs bizmano. So Rebbe, being someone who owned a lot of property and who was together with people that owned property, he started talking about Nechasav, Mutzlachim, Krovim Le'ir, and so on and so forth. Now, there were a lot of periods in Klal Yisrael's history where Jews weren't even allowed to own property. Obviously, it doesn't make sense to make a bracha that is just painful. Instead, there were other issues that they needed to worry about, needed to worry about their children, about fertility, whatever. So all of those things were added. So on and so forth, which doesn't refer anymore to real estate because we don't talk about Krovim Le'ir. So that would be okay. In which case, the Gemara Guf is saying that there's a variability in this bracha depending on circumstances once you say that opening sentence. So how long does the Birkat HaZimun go for? Now, this is an amazing machlokas over here between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi understands that the question is, incredibly, what part of Birkat HaMazon is not really part of Birkat HaMazon, but is part of Birkat HaZimun? Which would mean that if you're not saying it as Birkat HaZimun, you wouldn't say that bracha. According to which, Rav Nachman said, Nevorech Shachanu Mishalo, that's fine. But Rav Sheshe says that the Birkat HaZimun goes all the way till Hazan et Hakol. Now, that is absolutely wild, because what that would mean is that if you're not saying Birkat HaZimun and you're only two people or one person, you don't say the Brach of Hazan et Hakol. Tosfos says, that's crazy. There's a million Gemaras that make it clear that Hazan es Hakol is D'oraisa. Every time we refer to Birkat HaMazon, what do we call it? Shalosh Brachot. Not only Shalosh Brachot when you have a Birkas HaZimun. It's by definition Shalosh Brachot. I mean, Shalosh Brachot also includes Birkat Hazan. So it can't possibly mean that, says Tosfos. Therefore, according to Tosfos, the question is something entirely different. Tosfos learns we are continuing on with an issue that we raised yesterday. And that question was, if somebody is going to need to wait on other people, because say two guys, or if a case where somebody wants to be mavater, one guy, he says, listen, I need to go, do me a favor, and let me bench. Okay, so I'm going to let him bench. How long do I have to sit around listening to him when he is mavarech? That's the question. Do I have to wait all the way till he gets to Hazan es Hakol? Or is it okay if I just wait until he says the Varech Shachanu Mishalo and I answer the Varech Shachanu Mishalo and then I go back to eating myself? That's the question. And it's about that that we're arguing. So that, therefore, the Gemara wants to say, L'chor, that should be a Machlokas Tanoim. Now, each one, obviously, Tosfos Rashi, you're going to have to learn this in very, very different ways because of it. It's a totally different approach. But not only is it a different approach, it's a different girsa in the Gemara. Because the girsa that we have, the Toni Choda, Birkat HaMazon, Shnayim V'Shlosha. Now note that Shnayim V'Shlosha is masculine, in which case it's a reference to the number of people that are participating in the bracha. According to Rashi, the girsa is Shtayim V'Shalosh, in which case it's a reference to the bracha, which fits perfectly. Because here's the way they learn. One Mandi Omer says two or three, and the other Mandi Omer says three or four. So now, according to Rashi, it goes like this. Two or three, feminine, which means two or three brachot. In which case, everybody is agreeing forget about HaTova Ametiv. We're not talking about the bracha that's Lav Diorite. We're talking about only the brachot of Birkat HaMazon Diorite. Okay, so my Lav Okamifage. The man Diomro says two or three. He holds Ad Hazan. So in other words, it would depend. Sometimes it's two and two brachas because you start with no delicha. So you only have two brachas because you don't include Hazan. You only say Birkat Haaretz, Al Haaretz V'Al HaMazon, and you say Bonei Yerushalayim. We're not talking about the fourth bracha now at all, because that's the Rabbana. Whereas the Man Diomar Shalosh V'Arba, basically, if there's two people, so then we've got three brachas, because he includes Hazan as part of Birkat HaMazon. So he's got Hazan, Birkat Haaretz, and Bonei Yerushalayim. When there's three people, since according to him, Nivarech is a bracha all by itself without Hazan, so then we've got four brachas. Again, this is if it's feminine. Our girsa, of course, has it masculine. And that's one of the rayas that Tosfos has against Rashi, that since all the girsos he knows of are Lashon Zohar, Shnayim Vishlosha, what would that have to do with the number of brachot? Therefore, he is mefarish like the Rif. It's talking about how many people are present. So it's saying, Birkat HaZimun could be with two or three people. Okay, what is that talking about? It's talking about something entirely different. It's talking about the question of if you have a group of people where there is no one individual who knows the entire thing. Remember, they had to do everything by pair. They didn't have iPhones in those days. I don't think there was any other way to read things, right? So how would they know the Birkat HaMazon? They'd have to memorize it. I think they did have some other way of, well, whatever. Anyway, so the question is, you can put together a Birkat HaMazon if every person is going to make a bracha, but you can't put together a half a bracha and a half a bracha. So if I know the first part of the one bracha and you know the last part, forget it. We're not allowed to say that. Okay, so therefore, it works out very well. If each individual knows one bracha, what's the maximum number of people that are going to get together to say Birkat HaMazon? So that depends. If you hold that Birkat HaZan is part of the Birkat HaZimun, because since the Birkat HaZimun does not include a Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, it makes more sense to say that the Birkat HaZimun is not a bracha for itself. So if you're going to be making that bracha, you have to be a baki to say all the way from Nevarech Shachan Mishalo until Hazanat HaKol, which means that you'd only be able to put together the bracha with either with two or three. So then that means if you say your Mevarech, the first guy would be Mevarech until the end of Hazan, and sometimes you would be able to finish it with two, obviously with one also, right? But it says two over here, and sometimes it could be three, because you could have one guy going from Nivarech all the way through Hazan. The second guy says no delecha until Al Haaretz V'Al HaMazon. And the third guy goes all the way to Bonei Yerushalayim, and we're not talking about the fourth bracha at all. Exactly like Rashi learns that we're not talking about the fourth bracha. Fine. If you hold, you could do it even with four, you could have theoretically a guy who knows only the first part, Nivarech Shachan Mishalo. Then you have a guy who knows only Hazan, so he says Hazan. Then you have a guy who knows only Al Haaretz V'Al HaMazon. And then you have another guy who knows only the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim. So between them, you could have altogether four people as a maximum. You can't go beyond that because then it would be half a bracha at a time. But you can have four separate people taking turns at making the bracha that they know and putting together. Mashenken, if you hold, like Rav Sheshes, that the Varech is not a bracha on its own because it doesn't have a Shemu Malchus, you'd have to go to Lazan, then you'd only be able to maximize the number of people at three. Totally different approach. One, literally, I mean, it's like from one extreme to the other over here, and it's very, very nogea, by the way, because we actually do. Now, a very important halacha that just came up for Reb Barnea, and that is that, believe it or not, Zoom knows about Barnea, and in order to avoid breaking up meetings with weirdos sticking cups through the camera trying to get through to the other side, they decided to provide what's called a Barnea icon. So if you go into your managed participants, the same place where you go to raise a hand, you'll see that there's a little thing that says Barnea. That shows a cup. And then a cup appears in the screen where it's, and this is true. It doesn't say banana, but it does have an icon of a cup. And this is there in case people need to remind the speaker to take a drink. So you can actually click on it. You don't have to run up to the screen. So try it out next time, Reb Barnea, unless you don't have an access to the screen. It's very cute. So anybody can do that, right? Same way you raise your hand electronically already. Okay, so apparently it is a machlokes tanoim. We have two approaches to machlokes tanoim. So my love, he holds until zan is all one bracha. And the man yomer shalosh v'arba, he holds no. You only need to go to varach, so we have four brachas. No, not necessarily. Reb Nachman could be metaratzit the way he wants. Reb Shish could be metaratzit the way he wants. Here's how Reb Nachman would deal with it. He would say, listen, now, of course, everybody agrees you don't have to go till Azan. You just go up to Nivorech. So the one who says 3 and 4, okay, so then that makes perfectly good sense. The man di Omar who says, no, you can only get up to 3, he's talking about a case where there are Poalim present. Remember what the din is by Poalim? We read before that in order to save time, since you're busy on someone else's wallet, you don't have a right to say the whole Birkat HaMazon. Rather, what you do is you say an abridged version of Birkat HaMazon. So you're Poter Bazan, but you include Bonei Yerushalayim in Birkat HaAretz. That's why you only have a maximum of 3 brachas. Rav Shesh says, on the contrary, everybody agrees that Ad Azan is all one bracha. So the one who says 2 or 3, that's great. But how do you possibly get to the 3 or 4? Because according to him, we have to worry about Hatov HaMetiv, because we are talking about Hatov HaMetiv. Why? Because as we'll see later, there's a shita that says Hatov HaMetiv is Dioraita. That's what we're going like over here. Yod Hatov HaMetiv is Dioraita. He says, Reb Yosef, that's impossible. I'll prove to you that Hatov HaMetiv can't be Dioraita. Now, even though this is a Machlokes Tanoim later on, I will see in the Brachos, Reb Yosef is simply bringing a raya that normative halacha does not include that possibility. And I'll prove it to you. Did we not paskin that if you're a poel, you don't say Hatov HaMetiv at all? Obviously, if Hatov HaMetiv were Dioraita, we couldn't just tell somebody, well, skip it because you're on somebody else's wallet. Doesn't make sense. I'll prove to you Hatov HaMetiv can't be Dioraita. Because, listen, how do you say Hatov HaMetiv? You start off with Baruch Atah Hashem, Hatov HaMetiv, right? How would we start Baruch Atah Hashem? Do we start Baruch Atah Hashem for Noden Lecha? No. Do we start Baruch Atah Hashem on Rachem? No. Why not? Because the rule is when a bracha follows a previous bracha that started with Baruch Atah Hashem, now, truth is, there's really machlokas rishonim. According to Rashi, the point is, it started with Baruch Atah Hashem, and therefore the opening of Baruch Atah Hashem in a series of brachas that are related to one another, the first opening is the continued opening for all of the brachas because they're a continuation of that opening. There are others who learn that that's only in conjunction with the Baruch Atah Hashem at the end of the previous bracha, and that you're using that for the Baruch. Okay, it's a little bit problematic because you don't have a Shemu Malchus at the end. You have to go back to the Malchus at the beginning. Fine. But in any event, if Hatov HaMetiv were actually part of the Dioraita Birkat HaMazon, there is no reason why it would start with Baruch Atah Hashem, because it's no different than any other of the brachas. Therefore, it must be Sharei Poteach Ba Baruch. It opens with Baruch like any other bracha. Ve'eno Chotem Ba Baruch. And we have a rule. All brachot always start with Baruch and end with Baruch, except for 9,678 other things, which I may not have mentioned, but that's the general rule for the 2 or 3 things remaining. Okay. So basically, all brachas except all the brachas that you know, like the Birchas HaPeras, the Birchas HaMitzvahs, the Birchas HaReach, whatever, those, of course, do not have an ending. But anything else actually does, except for a couple of other additional cases where we don't follow that. And that would be Brocha Smucha L'Chaverta and a Brocha Achrona Shebekriyat Shema, which is also Brocha Smucha L'Chaverta, but we mention it separately because you would have thought that Kriyat Shema is an interruption. And therefore, it's coming to tell me it's not an interruption. It's all one long Brocha. And the same thing is true of Baruch Shamar Vaya Olam that continues on through Yishtabach, the closing brach of the Yishtabach is basically the closing of a brach that opened with Baruch Shamar. And there too, despite the fact that at all of those various Tehillim that I said in the middle, and then and Shirat Hayam and so on, doesn't matter. The same way that Kriyat Shema is not a hefsek, that's all considered to be part of the lengthy bracha. And therefore, those things would have bracha chonu shebekriyat shema. You should know it's also bracha sebuch lechaverta. Some of these are poter ben bebaruch ve'eno chotem ben bebaruch. So there are times when, in fact, you have something that does not necessarily have to follow the rule, that it may start with a baruch and not end with a baruch. That can happen sometimes. And that would be, like we said before, anything that doesn't have it doesn't have like a tefillah in between, there's no reason for me to repeat it and so on. It's only when you've got things like in Kiddush, as Rashi brings as an example, so you have this whole thing, tefillah lemikra Kiddush in the middle, that's like a whole discussion of a tefillah and a comment. So that breaks your concentration from the beginning, so to speak, introduces new issues, and because of that, you say the brocha at the end. So some of them are poter bebaruch ve'eno chotem bebaruch, and that was what we said before, that all of the birchas hamitzvahs, except for these special cases. Sometimes, yesh me'am, there are cases where you have things that are just the opposite. They end with baruch, but they do not open with baruch, and that would be any of the brachas which are a continuation of a previous barcha. But what about atov ha'metiv? Now, the girsa in Masechet Pesachim is mashma, this is part of the Braita. The reasonability of the way that the Gemara is constructed is mashma, that this is the raya that he's bringing from the Braita. That since Hatov HaMeitiv, some change the girsa of Pesachim because of this, since Hatov HaMeitiv starts with Baruch, but is not chotim with Baruch, that shows that it's a brocha bifnei atzma, which of course leads to the obvious question. The brocha of Hatov HaMeitiv is one heck of a long brocha, and it starts talking about Gomlenu, and three gemilos you have to have, and three mentions of Malchus Beis Tov, and it's like a very long brocha, and certainly should be part of the klal that when you've got other tefillahs and stuff in the middle, that the din is you have to end. And Tosfos actually asked this kasha, why doesn't it have a chatima? And so Tosfos says a brilliant thing. He says, look, the brocha of Hatov HaMeitiv was a takona at the time of Beitar. The takona of the brocha was simply the brocha that we know, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hatov HaMeitiv. That was the brocha. The same brocha that we make at Absurah Tova and so on and so forth. The fact that afterwards they were metakein shalosh malchios and shalosh hatovos and shalosh gmulais that we repeat in the bracha, that came later on, and that was not a takona of a new bracha. And because of that, they weren't going to change the way that the original bracha was set up to be simply matchil bebaruch. So it's a bracha with a continuation that goes into ayachasrenu, but that's really, that last part is not really part of the bracha of the takona of Hatov Vahametiv. Beautiful to know. Okay, Rav Nachman says, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, I'll bring you another raya. Of course it can't be that Hatov Vahametiv is the oraita, because in a house of an ovel, you do not say, at least according to Rabbi Akiva, you do not say Hatov Vahametiv in Birkat HaMazon, which if it were the oraita, it would be ridiculous. How could you not say it? Because here's what it says in the braita. Mayim omrim bebeit ha'avel, samar chas v'sholom, eats in a Beit HaAvel, or the Beit HaAvel eats. So what do you say in the fourth bracha? You say Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, according to Tanakama. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you say Baruch Dayan HaEmet. Wait a minute, the Chachomim say you don't say Dayan HaEmet? You only say HaTov HaMeitiv in Dayan HaEmet Lo? No. The Chachomim say you can't cross out HaTov HaMeitiv. You say Dayan HaEmet, but you also say HaTov HaMeitiv. And remember that the Gemara said before that Hatov HaMeitiv and Dayan HaEmet are the same bracha. It's just that in Olam HaZeh, we split it up because of our perception that we think things are horrible sometimes and things are wonderful other times. In Olam HaBa, we recognize that everything is all the same bracha, so one is the Hatov HaMeitiv. Therefore, in the Beit HaAvel, you could say both Hatov HaMeitiv and Dayan HaEmet. And we actually have this Maisa, Mar Zutra, once came to visit Rav Ashi. And unfortunately, while he was there, Rav Ashi lost a relative that he had to sit Shiva on. So in the bracha, Potachu Borich, Baruch Hatov, Ametiv, El, Emet, Dayan, Emet, Shofet, Betzedek, Lokeach, Bamishpat, Shalit bo olamo lasot bo kiritzono ki kol drachav mishpat shakol shalov anachtu amo ve'avadav ubekol anachtu chayavim lahodot lo levorcho goder pirtzot b'Yisrael hu yigdor et hapirtza hazot b'Yisrael lechayim. And according to most shitas, at that time you add in hu gomleinu, gomleinu, igmaleinu, and so on and so forth, because that was part of the takana b'chlam for hatov ametiv. And there's an amazing point over which Tosis brings, which is absolutely astonishing because it has such amazing applicability. And that is that the Bahag says you should not mention the word mishpat, loker b'mishpat, because we come out that yesh mita, that it's possible for a person to die, not b'mishpat, not the Gemara goes through the whole story of Miriam and so on. And it's yesh yesurin below chait. So how can you say everything is fair? What, life is fair? That's what you're implying? Who said that life is fair? Says Tosfos, that's not a good enough reason to take out b'mishpat, because there are other levels. It may not be fair, but it's certainly b'mishpat. Okay. Anyway, but put that together with the insane minhag in a Beit HaAvel, in which every idiot that comes in has a comment about how, well, you know, we know that everything is for the best. Or as it goes, well, he's in a better place. Well, this was a great kapora for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Well, blah, blah, blah. And so every idiot knows the Darkei Hashem. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, but every idiot knows. And everybody else, of course, is like, oh, my God, it's so embarrassing. But what can you do? Because that's what it's like. So here the Bahag actually takes out a small element of that comment. I mean, what's this to say, b'mishpat? Takes it out of the bracha because it's misleading and inappropriate. That's amazing. Okay, back to the Gemara. Not back to the Gemara yet, because there's a big problem here. We don't say this bracha. Now, about 60, 70 years ago, you start finding in the poskim, how come we don't make this bracha? Which means that until very recently, they did make this bracha. And the fact is, nobody quite knows why we don't make this bracha. However, somehow or other, it became a minhag, and the bracha is no longer said in the Beit HaAvel, at least among the Ashkenazim. Certainly, there are plenty of Edot that have the Lashon of Gemara and make this bracha in a Beit HaAvel. Okay, next question is, Leichan hu chozer. Now, Leichan hu chozer, very ironically, Rashi learns, is the question the way that Tosus learned the first part of the sugya. If somebody is waiting, he listened to another guy's bracha, and he has to wait, if you hold, he has to wait until Hazan, right? So then, when he finishes eating, does he repeat the Birchat Hazan because he was already chayav in it from the beginning of the meal? Or was he already Yotze? So Rabbanan say, well, you just go back to the point where you got up to. You already heard up to Hazan HaSakol, so you start from that point on. That's how Rashi understands. Now, Tosfos says that's crazy. Again, this is Rashi doing his thing. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. How could a guy, see, Rashi, it makes sense, because according to Rashi, the Birchas HaZimun was the source of Hazan, but without a Birchas HaZimun, there is no Hazan. So because of that, even though I've continued to eat for another hour, after these guys have benched, you know. But so what? I don't need to say Hazan just because I ate. Of course, according to Tosis, that's nuts. Of course you need to say Hazan. You always say Hazan. If it's in New York, you say Hazan. So he can't possibly learn that pshat. Because, of course, you're going to have to go back. Tosis has a totally different approach to this. And that is, in every case where a guy is being Mavorech Birchas Hazimun, right? So he's saying, okay, Rabotai Nevorech. Okay, so he says Nevorech. And Nevorech Shachanu Mishalo. So then everybody says, Baruch Shachanu Mishalo to Vochayinu. What does he say? Where does he go back to? Does he go back to Nevorech Shachanu Mishalo? Or does he just say what everyone else said, which is Baruch Shachanu Mishalo to Vochayinu? That's the question. Okay, so therefore, if he goes back to the Mokom Sheposak, means I already said Nevarech, so now I just repeat what you guys said, which is Baruch Shachanu Mishalo, which of course is how we do it. Omer le Reish Galusa Reb Sheshes, Reish Galusa always had something a little bit smart aleck. He didn't like the way the Rabbanim were always acted so high and mighty, and they always know everything, you know, and he's the political guy. They look down at him, you know. So Reish Lakish, Reb Sheshes came to visit, so the Reish Galusa said to him, you know, you guys are great, Talmid Chachomim, I understand, but you know, Persians, just a regular guy, they know a lot more about how to act at a meal than you guys do. So the Parsoi are bigger Bikiyim than you are, because what they do is like this. If you have two couches, it means there's only two people that are going to be eating. So then they put the person who is Godol, he first sits down, and then the second in line to him, they put him above the other guy's head, so that the basically what it turns out is that that way, the Godol is leaning towards his left, and this person therefore is more towards his left, which is the way it should be. The Godol should be on the right. If there's three people, so then the Godol is in the middle. When it says Barosh, it means first, doesn't mean on top. Then the Godol is in the middle. The second in line is above him. And the lowest guy, the third guy, is towards his feet. So it's Lamate Men. So Reb Shesha says, oh, well, I'm glad you think that that makes so much sense. I don't think it makes any sense, because what happens when the Godol wants to speak to the guy behind him? How's he supposed to speak to him? If you would have put the second guy towards his feet, then he could see him and he could talk to him. And the second guy would have to get up and look backwards, right? But like this, what's supposed to be? The Godol is supposed to like get up, turn around, and talk to the guy behind him. Ah, said the Resh Galusa, that's the whole point. You don't know. Parsaim don't need to talk. They use hand gestures. So because of that, if he wants to say something to the guy behind him, he can let him know with his hands and let the other guy get up if he needs to get up. But no, of course, you don't have to do anything. All right, says Rav Sheshes, let me hear some more. Who gets the Mayim Rishonim before the Suda? The Godol. The Godol? What? So the Godol is supposed to sit back, twiddle his thumbs, until everybody finishes getting the Mayim? That's stupid. Ah, says the Resh Galusa. No, not stupid at all. As soon as the Godol washes, they bring him a table, a personal table, right in front of him. Says Rav Sheshes. All right. What about the Mayim Achronim? Where do they start? Who gets that? They start with the katan. With the katan? You mean to tell me that the Godol is supposed to sit around with filthy fingers? He's going nuts waiting for the next 20 people until they come and do their Mayim Achronim? No, said the Resh Galusa. You didn't hear the whole story. They do not take that little table away from him. So he continues to blithely go along eating. He doesn't even know from the Mayim Achronim everybody else is washing. Then when everybody else finishes, then they bring the water from Mayim Achronim, then they take away his table. Smart or not smart? Says Reb Sheshes, look, I don't know smart or not smart. I know a braita. Ana matniti adana detanya. Ketzad seder hasava. What's the correct way? Well, if you've got two mitot, so then the gadol is on top, the sheni lo is towards his right because he's leaning on his left, which is lamata himenu, and that way he can talk to him. If there's three mitot, then the Godol sits down first. The next guy in line indeed goes above him, because it would be very insulting to make the second in command all the way at the bottom. Then he would look like the third in command. So Enochinami, it's inconvenient if the Godol would have to speak with the Sheni, but he could always speak to the Shlishi. If he's going to need something, he'll talk to the Shlishi. The Shlishi is at the bottom towards his right, and that's Lamata Imenu. The Mayim HaRishonim, indeed, we start Min HaGadol, and that is actually Nogea, in terms of Halacha L'maaseh, the Rosh always used to wait till everybody else finished washing before he washed, so that there shouldn't be this hefsek and so on. But obviously it depends if everybody has their own challahs at a meal or whether one person is going to be mufarek for all of them. Everybody has their own challahs, so then fine, you just go wash, go to the table, and you make your own amotzi. And of course it should be the Godol that would be mufarek. The Mayim Acharonim, it goes like this. If there's no more than five people, so then what we do is we start from the Godol, Bizman Shehimeah, but if you got more than five, or you got 100 or 10, whatever, so what you do is you don't keep him waiting, so that what happens is let the Katan start with the Mayim Achronim, and everybody else keeps eating, okay? Now you got down to five, okay? So you got down to five, you start. Now, you start in order of who is more chashev. So therefore, you give it to the Godol or to whomever has been defined as the guy who's going to be saying Birkat HaMazon. And that's the rule. L'mokum Shemayim Achronim Chozrim, that's the bracha of Birkat HaMazon. He's the guy who says Birkat HaMazon. So he may be the last in terms of the first 100 people. They went to 95 people went first. He was number 96. So then he knows that he's the one that's supposed to be Mevorech, and it starts all over again. Misayei alei l'Rav. Now this proves what Rav said, because remember what happened one time. Reb Chiya bar Ashi amar Rav, kol anoto yoreh b'achrona tchila. The first guy to do mayim achronim is the guy that's been invited to say Birchas HaZimon. And Rav learned this in a tough way. We had that story before. Remember Rav was eating at Rebbe's house, and oh my God, that Rebbe told him, go wash your hands. And he thought, ah, what did I do wrong? So he was literally shaking. What an idiot I just made out of myself. So once happened, the Rav and Reb Chiya were sitting in front of Rebbe, and Rebbe says to Rav, get up and wash your hands. So Rabbi Chiya sees Rav shaking because he figured it was criticism. And actually, so he turns to him and he says to him, Bar Pachse, you're the son of such great people, you should know. All that Rabbi was doing was telling you, I'm honoring you with Birkat HaMazon, so get ready for Birkat HaMazon. So he said, you be the one to wash your hands. And that's Ayin B'Birkat Mazonaka Amar Lecha. Okay, Rabosai, that ends our delicious daf for the day with many, many important points. Even the idea of Sheva Brachas, by the way, because the Sheva Brachas are all Brachot HaSmuchot L'Chaverta, right? And nonetheless, we split them up. What right do we have to split them up? If a Bracha Smucha L'Chaverta is considered to all be one long Bracha, we have our Mokar in this Gemara. Because according to what Tosfos is learning, we could split up Birkat HaMazon between three people or four people, depending on what sheet you hold, even though there too it's Bracha Smucha L'Chaverta, in which case this becomes the smach for the minhag of splitting up Sheva Brachas at a wedding.